Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Interesting fun chart from Ian Harditz, frequent guest of ours from Fantasy Life. Running backs with at least 100 rushing yards so far this season. And we've talked about this stat a few times with regard to James Cook, percent of yards after contact. Well, he had the jet game where, like, you know, he could still get yards after contact, but he was going, it's a different stat, a few yards before being touched. Then against Miami, he had a lot of that, yards after contact. 70% is his number through three games. You know, kind of not, I'm not sure if it's middle of the pack, but it's not extreme. Jahmyr Gibbs, who plays tonight, 31% of his yards are coming after contact. So the line, even with the guy who retired and the Zeitler, the center who retired from the Lions.
Frank Ragnow.
Ragnow. That's a cool name, Ragnow.
Yeah.
Even with that, like the Lions against the Bears just must have dominated the line of scrimmage. Ashton Jeanty, what percent of his yards are coming after contact through three games? 101%.
Right,
that's he's, that bad.
Yeah, he's being hit in the backfield constantly.
You guys, let's bring Sal Capaccio in on the Western Hotline. Either of you see any of the Raiders yesterday against Washington? Was that a game?
I did not. I don't even think I saw highlights of that game.
Okay, there were some.
Yeah,
Sal, you see any of that
I
one?
I believe you.
Mostly just highlights. Yes. I saw Trey Tucker's three touchdowns, but yeah, I was checking in and I saw highlights, you know, as that game was going.
Trey Tucker. What did you watch yesterday? I'm not sure you were able to watch any of it. We haven't discussed this, but what were you able to consume in week three?
I actually was able to watch a lot of football yesterday. Had some stuff going on right about the end of the first quarter is when I started my football watching from the 1 o'clock games. And then so what I did was, and what I usually do in these situations, I put Red Zone on the television, and then I put my computer on one of the games that's on either CBS or, you know, Fox. So yesterday was two games that I definitely was interested in and those two channels because I wanted to see the Steelers and Patriots and I wanted to see the Jets and Buccaneers. So I watched a lot of those. I went back and forth basically on my computer and I just kept the TV on Red Zone to see what else was going on. So I got a lot of football watching it. And then once it got to 4 o'clock, kind of just watched the Cowboys and Bears mostly, but had Red Zone on as well. And then watched all of the Sunday night game.
Did New England, was it criminal that New England lost? I mean, they had
five turnovers. Two of them, is there an interception in the end zone and a fumble as I think Stevenson was about to break the plane and score?
Yeah. Like, should they have won, Sal?
Yeah, I think they should have won, but I don't think they, like, just dominated the game otherwise. You know, they still, if I'm a Patriots observer, fan, media member, I'm thinking, like, I don't know what they have outside of Hunter Henry because they're not really their skill position players aren't, you know, like really anything to be worried about or threatening. Hunter Henry is a guy that Drake May looks to a lot. And honestly, like, I still like Drake May. I mean, I think he had a nice completion percentage yesterday. But he hasn't risen maybe to a level of what I would have thought maybe by the third game of this year. They're making a lot of mistakes. And a Mike Vrabel coach team coming from a Bill Belichick, you know, coach team, and I know it's Gerard Mayo in between, they're making too many mistakes for my liking, I'll say that. And, you know, the Steelers did a nice job. I saw a quote, Cam Hayward, there was a quote from him, said something about, like, he was asked, like, did you know that, you know, Stevenson would put the ball on the ground when you're targeting? Yep. He said, well, we know that's something they do. Like, their group, that's what they do. And that's not good for a team to say that.
Yeah, I even saw him say, we were very aware of when he was in the game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I just think it's something that that's what, you know, when you're not quite, you know, detailed and buttoned up, though, those things happen to you like happened to them yesterday.
I was optimistic for the Patriots because of their schedule largely. But now they've already lost home games to the Raiders and the Steelers. Mm-hmm. They escaped Miami. And those two conference home losses will not be pretty when it gets late, if they're even in it. I mean, that's going to be hard to, perhaps, hard to overcome. Plus, Sal, those could also be head-to-head losses that hurt, the Raiders and the Steelers. You know, two other teams that are, you know, reasonable candidates for, like, the 6 and 7 seeds thereabouts.
Yeah, I don't know about the Raiders. I think they're just buried in a division where everybody's better than them right now. But sure, I mean, they could come up with a couple wins. They had some nice offensive production early in the season a little bit. I'm not going to factor them in as much as you would there. But I would say the Steelers are who the Steelers are every year, it looks like, right? They're going to be a team that's going to finish around 500, probably make enough plays and win a couple of games enough to, you know, sneak into the playoffs. And to be honest with you, like, because of the injury to Burrow, and because the Browns just have no offense, but they can play some defense, obviously. You know, it just looks like they'll probably finish second in their division to the Ravens, and then, you know, we'll see. But they are not a really good offense either, to be quite honest with you. I did the podcast with Matt Bove, and Matt, his quote was, that is not an NFL offense. So I tweeted that out just actually a little while ago because I thought it was interesting. And, yeah, they have some issues as well.
Pittsburgh. Well, the big one is Kansas City here last night, and they get the win at the Giants, but it still looks very strained, pained even, their offense. And you might even have some, you know, internal strife going on. They give you that impression, but it's also happened in the past, and, you know, who cares? Because Kansas City has tended to figure it out. What is your thought on the Chiefs if you got to see them last night through three games? They're not scoring. You know, they found Tyquan Thornton, cast off from New England. He made a great catch for them, almost another one in this game. He's kind of been like their only any kind of downfield threat so far. But you've got Kelce, you know, who makes you wonder what he's got left. You've got Juju, who's also, you know, certainly back end of his career. They can't run it, which is something that Bulldog and I talked about, you know, to the Bills' credit, how they figured out, you know, the value of that and just how to really have that become so much a part of their offense. The Chiefs don't really do that at all.
First of all, I want to say, after what we just said about the Patriots, wow, Tyquan Thornton? Like, you think he couldn't help the Patriots right now?
No, right.
You know, I mean, like,
second-round pick.
Yeah, you're in New England. You're like, what did they just do? There's a guy that the Patriots, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, that he's relying on to bail him out and go down the field and make these plays. You know, that's a guy that could have help the Patriots, maybe. I think that's exactly what they need, and they moved on from him. Anyway, so that being said, look, I don't really think it's much different than last year, guys, to be quite honest with you. They weren't that good last year on offense. They scored some points. They're a little better. They were better than they were now. And remember last year, they couldn't get to 30 points ever any week, and then suddenly they did, of course, against the Bills. I totally get that. But, like, this is just kind of what they look like, and maybe even a little bit worse because of some of the injuries and relying on guys who aren't on the field right now, who they were planning on being on the field, like Xavier Worthy and, of course, Rashee Rice, who they probably knew was going to miss some time. I think it'll get better when those guys come back, but that's not – I think you have to be very careful about, oh, and these guys come back, it'll fix everything. Like, that's not just the way it works in the National Football League, right? I mean, like, you're right about being able to run the ball. They haven't been able to do that. They're kind of a one-dimensional team because of that. And, look, last night I went and looked at the numbers – at halftime, they were averaging less than 3.6 yards per offensive play. And I did the numbers and went back and looked at Stathead, and That's the lowest for if you extrapolate that for the game, and it wasn't. At the end of the game, it was 4.6. But they hadn't had a game where they averaged less than 3.6 since 2014. It's crazy, except for the Denver game that they rested everybody last year.
Yeah.
It just shows you like how bad it really is numbers-wise, statistically, on top of how bad it looks, and it certainly does. Internal strife, yeah, it felt like a couple of times, it wasn't just Kelce, but definitely him, where Mahomes was like telling somebody, you're supposed to be over here, you're supposed to be over there, what's going on? And then they get to the sidelines. We saw this before between Reed and Kelce, and you know there was the Super Bowl thing, and people blew that off. And I guess they have that kind of relationship where you can do that, but I still think it's kind of weird that like a head coach and a player fight like that. It's not a bigger story, but hey, I mean, to me, it becomes something when it continues like that.
I think I'm not like any kind of Mahomes hater, but I think he's closing in on sort of Marino status with his, because they're always on, the camera's always on his face after every play. And just sort of like the frustration he's showing, or even as you're saying, Sal, you sort of see him pointing or different, even at Kelce last night at one point. Like, what do they have to figure out? You know, like just that's how Marino didn't really literally do that on every pass. It just sort of felt like it.
It just seemed like it, right.
Yeah. Right. And Mahomes is kind of giving off this sort of like he's kind of trapped almost in that offense.
Yeah, can somebody help me here, please? Anyone raise your hand? Yeah, Sal, we talked a little bit about Kelce already today, and I just wonder how much there is in there. The flood of he's worked out so hard, he's in great shape stuff coming into the season was a little bit much to my ears. I just felt like somebody was doing some pretty heavy lifting trying to prop that up. He looks like a ghost, and I just think for a guy who's been that great for that long, I think it can be confusing emotionally when you can't, even if you're not a pro athlete, we all age. We all go through the situation where you can no longer do a thing that you used to be able to do with ease. And I just wonder if he's just getting himself all tangled up because his body just doesn't allow him to get where he wants to be anymore.
I don't disagree. And it's, you know, Father Time is undefeated, as they say. I mean, Brady's really the only guy that kind of figured that out. Really late into his career. There's been guys who played older, but especially at positions like that, his body's taken a bit of a beating. I think you're right, Bulldog. It feels like this is just kind of hanging on territory right now, where he might be good for a couple of nice third down conversions every game and a touchdown or so, but every once in a while. But this is not a guy that you can rely on to be a down-in, down-out matchup problem at tight end, and that's what he was for a lot of his career. And how is the team kind of built, you know, without that? I mean, Noah Gray is a guy they've been relying on a little bit more, no doubt. You know, so, yeah, that feels like that with Kelce. And, look, I think the other problem with the Chiefs here is they're in a better division now, right? I mean, Over the last few years, when these kinds of things have happened with Kansas City, while you might hope and think that the Raiders, who could get them once in a while, or the Chargers, who could get them once in a while, or even Denver, at the end of the day, they weren't really any threats. That's different now. The Chargers are a good team, and they've already beaten them once. And I think the Broncos still have a very good defense. I don't think they are playing as good of offense, and Bo Nix hasn't been as good as I thought, you know, coming in how they would be. And then, you know, the Raiders can bite you every once in a while. So I think that's also a really big difference with the Chiefs right now.
Talking out week three in the NFL with Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Well, I want to get to the Chargers with you, Sal, but next week it is Baltimore at Kansas City. Baltimore 1-1 playing tonight at the Chiefs, who are 1-2. I feel like this week we'll be talking about, like, with fans who people want to have win that game. You know, you can't bury anybody in week four, but if Kansas City loses a home game, you know, in conference to the Ravens, that's one thing. Of course, the Bills with one seed on the brain, maybe you'd want to separate from the Ravens a little more if, you know, maybe Baltimore wins tonight. Mm-hmm. And then if they were to win in Kansas City, they'd be 3-1. Bills likely 4-0, and you're racing with them. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have an opinion on that, and you just kind of said it. To me, it depends on tonight. I think if the Ravens win tonight, I think you want the Chiefs to beat them next week, because right now I don't think the Chiefs are winning the division. So they're not – I mean, what it could set up in a scenario could be like literally the Bills could get the one seed or the two seed and play Kansas City their first round.
Right.
That would be kind of crazy and suck. But, you know, considering all the scar tissue in there and the matchups. But, I mean, I do think that if you're talking about the one seed, you're talking about varying teams, feeling comfortable where you are, I think if the Ravens win tonight, I think you want the Chiefs to beat them next week. If the Ravens lose tonight, then beat the Chiefs next week. I think at the end of the day, what you want is both teams have two losses here over the next 6 days.
I can't wait until we get further into the season and we got to figure out whether we want Kansas City to beat the Chargers.
Yes, I know.
The way things are going so far with them, right?
Would you take? Let me ask you this. I asked Bove this today on the pod. I'll ask your opinions on this. Okay. Would you take right now, would you sign up for the Bills being the one seed if it meant Kansas City the 7 and Baltimore either the 3 or 4? So in that scenario, Kansas City wins a game, your first game is against them. You're coming to Buffalo in week 2. And if you win that, you're probably playing Baltimore in the championship game.
I'd have to say yes. What's the alternative? You know, like Kansas City misses, or, I mean, Baltimore as a road team presents the same sort of dangerousness. Yep. So I think I would have to say yes to that. But, I mean,
it's as hard as it could possibly be, probably.
What's better that's realistic? I mean, you're not going to play Cleveland, and, well, maybe you are. I don't know. It's too early.
I think it's realistic to think that, you know, a Jacksonville or a Houston, I mean, I guess these teams aren't starting off great like Houston, but you pick your team. I think it's realistic that another team could be the 7th seed besides Kansas City.
Oh, sure. But, you know, like, do they win that first game? Does it even matter? Is really, like, the Kansas City point is that they would win the game
right
against whoever has the second best record in the conference.
Yeah, usually as the one seed, you'd be pulling for that. Like, get me the week. Give me the team that's playing at 3:30 on Saturday to come here in the divisional round. Like, that's the what you want. But if that's Kansas City, then all of a sudden, it's a little like the Bengals were last year. They didn't get in, but they were chasing the 7, and, you know, we had a pretty good inkling the Bills would be the 2. And, like, do we really want that smoke here in the divisional round? No.
We did not.
No.
Most of us did not.
No. I would also say this. I think that, boy, you want the one seed, right? That's the goal. The one seed, to me, the one seed, the real reason, the biggest reason it's important is having the first week off. It's not because of home field. Yes, it matters.
100%
right?
Agree, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the Bills have been banged up in that first game. In the game against Pittsburgh a few years ago, like, they lost a lot of guys. And that hurt them the next week against Kansas City when they had A.J. Klein running around trying to guard Travis Kelce. And they still had a chance to win at the end of the game. They were so depleted in that game. Even last year, you know, they get banged up a little bit because they played 2 games in a row, not just the Denver game. But I would say, though, that's the number one thing. But if you're going to get the 2, which is very, you know, also right in the window, I mean, the Chargers as the 1, Buffalo goes to L.A., Turf Field, Josh Allen, the fan base shows up. Like, I don't know. That's a winnable game for the Bills, right?
Yeah.
Would you take that? AFC Championship Buffalo at the Chargers. Would you take that right now?
I think so, yeah.
I would.
Yeah, I would. I would.
Sal Capaccio with us for a few more minutes. Chargers for real, Sal? Herbert is making some spectacular plays. I mean, this is another close win. I think a good win. Good enough. It's interesting how Quentin Johnston so far this year is a thing. I mean, he was mocked as a rookie a little here and there last year. Kind of felt like maybe he was right on the cusp of the bust zone. But this year, he's making big plays for them. Keenan Allen probably will get hurt. But so far, you know, he's making plays. He matters. McConkey is mattering the least by the stats of the first 3 weeks. But I thought there were some moments yesterday for Herbert, who's been a guy that has always gotten credit for his talent. But, you know, can he really, like, sort of come up big? And so far this year, I think he has.
Yeah, there have been some moments. He's looked good. Or can they be for real? Yes, I think because they're well coached. But I mean, even I think he was less than 60% yesterday still, Justin Herbert. I think his overall percentage was not that good. And I'm not banging on him because I think he made some good plays and he's still a really talented quarterback. But I think part of that is because, guys, like, he was also kind of back there moving around, having to make plays on the run. Like, their offensive line is really beat up. And that's kind of been a bit of a story for the Chargers over the last few years. They lost another lineman yesterday for a little while, and I don't know, you know, what situation is there. But their offensive line is banged up. Now they're without Najee Harris. Their defense is good. It really is good. I don't know if they're like this elite playmaking type of defense, but they keep you down. They can. I think they're going to have to win a lot of lower scoring games. Do they have the ability to score high? Sure, because of Herbert and some of the guys they have. But I think generally it's a team that's going to play some lower scoring, closer games.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And what are you prepared to do with the Colts at this point, Sal? They're 3-0. They finally punted yesterday. It's getting harder to deny that like Daniel Jones is this year's Sam Darnold in Minnesota last year, or Geno when he first got to Seattle. It's going really well.
If they go to LA and win next week against the Rams, then I will take them a lot more serious. Right now, though, I'm thinking that's not going to happen. I want to see it, you know, in a little bit different environment like that, against a defense like that, with a pass rush and some of the guys, the dudes they have on that side of the ball, like that with against the Rams. So let's see that. And if it happens, then I'm very much taking them seriously. I think it's still a little too early for that. They are in a division that just does not look very good other than them right now. So they're going to have a look at, you know, probably a top 2-3 seed here, maybe even one if they can really be a much, you know, a real consistent team as they go. Jonathan Taylor is great. We know that. And he came to Buffalo and he torched them a few years ago. Again, I'll go back to, if it's Bills at Colts, let's say AFC Championship, I think you take that, right? I mean, like Daniel Jones. By the way, on him, saw a real interesting tweet this morning when I got up, said that, you know, Brian Daboll shouldn't worry about his job because the Giants, how they've looked. Maybe he should worry about his job because of how good Daniel Jones has looked outside of him. I mean, it's really interesting. He goes to Indy, and look what he's doing right now, and they couldn't do that. And I know that circumstances, situations, roster is totally different. But Jones has looked good. I need to see it a little bit longer. I it's one of those teams where I just think that we have a very small sample size. Let me see when they play some bigger boys.
Jones also got the magic dust of Kevin O'Connell last year in Minnesota, right, which Carson Wentz seemed to enjoy yesterday. All right, what's the Bills schedule here for this week?
Regular Sunday game, 1 o'clock, obviously, but that means nothing until Wednesday. Their media for this week was done Friday, so that was the post game, you know, day after game. Head coach Sean McDermott, coordinators, they all spoke. So there was no media today, nothing tomorrow. Wednesday will be practice, normal media day. We'll hear from McDermott, we'll watch practice, and we'll get our first injury report. All eyes will be on Matt Milano and Ed Oliver. You still have one more week required for Tyler Bass and Maxwell Hairston. And then a week from today, guys, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi can begin practicing with the team. And that's a different scenario where, like, that's going to happen. That's not, like, the Bills' choice. That's going to happen. Whereas Hairston and Tyler Bass, that's the Bills' choice when it happens.
Right. The suspended players are healthy, as far as we know, so they'll be on the practice field next week. Okay, very good.
And real quick, not for nothing, just so you know, Gabe Davis is in the same boat. Because Gabe Davis is on a practice squad injured, and I just was thinking a little bit about him today because of some of the things that came out of last game and the passing game and throwing downfield, and I don't know, I don't necessarily think he's going to make some sort of impact right away or over the next few weeks, but just so everybody's aware, a week from today, if they wanted to, if he's healthy, he can start practicing and he gets put back on the practice squad. Right now he's practice squad injured.
That would be interesting. You know, you think of Davis, he had that, and he also had the blocking, which was valuable to the Bills, you know, on top of the work ethic stuff and everything they liked about him. Shavers is the new Davis, isn't he? Like, that's,
yeah,
they haven't, right. unlock that down the field, but you got to love what he looks like on tape when it comes to blocking. You know that's important to them. It's a lot of what has fueled them through three games. So maybe Davis is kind of squarely behind Shavers, possibly.
Possibly. I'm very interested to see some of the roster gymnastics that they'll have to make when a lot of these guys start to get healthy. Let's hope they have those decisions to make, because if not, then that means maybe injuries would dictate some of those decisions.
Right.
But if they can stay relatively healthy here, they will have some interesting decisions on their hands coming up.
Sal, thanks for today. We'll check back with you on Wednesday.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Who are you ready to write off? Cincinnati? Kansas City, even? Or maybe is there anybody that still scares you? Maybe that's also Kansas City. Makes sense if it is. 803-0550 as we talk about the weekend in the NFL. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines are open for you. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.